Hello, I'm Lee Benton, pastor of the Open Door Baptist Church. I want to take the opportunity to say that our congregation and myself thanks you for taking the time to listen to this Bible study today. This Bible study was given from the pulpit right here at Open Door Baptist on a Wednesday evening. Our prayer is that this study of God's infallible Word will help you to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you, and may the Lord bless you.
John chapter 16, I want to begin reading in verse 8 because we dealt with the first seven verses last Wednesday evening. And I want to just kind of start there in verse 8, and we'll read a few verses and we'll ask you to be seated and we'll share what the Lord has given me. And hopefully it'll be a real help to you tonight. The Bible says, Jesus is speaking to His 11 disciples. You remember that there were a total of 12, but Judas Iscariot has left the upper room now. And so these 11 true blue disciples of Christ is now gathered with Him before His crucifixion. And He says, and when He, speaking of Holy Spirit, is come, the Bible says, verse 8, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not in me or on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. And I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Verse 13, howbeit, when He, Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. And He will show you things to come. He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath given are Mine. Therefore said I, that He shall take of Mine, and shall show it unto you. A little while, and ye shall not see Me. And again, a little while, and you shall see Me, because I go to the Father. Lord, we love You. Help us tonight. Thank You, Lord, for those that are here. Thank You, Lord, for Brother Joseph, Lord, working with our youth tonight. Bless that young man's heart. Use him for Your glory. Thank You for Miss Lynn filling in, Lord, for my wife, as she's at home not feeling well. Thank You, Lord, for the people of God that are here, those that take part in the service tonight through our live web streaming. Bless their hearts. Lord, those that will download this study, continue to use it around the world for Your glory. Thank You, Lord, for Miss Carol's family here tonight. What a blessing to have them. I pray that You'll bless us now in Christ's name. Amen and amen. Thank you and be seated. Now, you know exactly what I'm going to do for the first 5 minutes. I'm going to back up, refresh your memory, and for those that may have not been here last Wednesday night, and you've not took advantage of the auto sermon audio and listened to last Wednesday night, I want to remind you, give you up to date where we are in chapter number 16. Now, in chapter 17, I said that there are three things that the Lord spoke of to His disciples according to this time in chapter 16. Many things He said to them. We know in chapter 14, He said, if you believe in Me, if God, believe also in Me. And my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to Myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And Jesus said to them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me. Chapter 15, He said, I'm the true vine. And you, as My people, are the branches. And He talked about as branches, if we receive the spiritual food from Him that we should receive, then we will bear much fruit for the glory of God. He says, if you don't bear fruit, you'll dry up on the vine. And so we got to the latter part of chapter 15. He said that, I'm going to tell you about a great love. No greater love hath this than a man lay down his life for his friends. He calls his people friends. The Bible says in Proverbs, for a man to have friends, he must show himself friendly. How did the Lord show Himself friendly to us? He died on the cross for our sins. Amen. So now we're His friends, all because, thank God, He showed friendliness towards us at the cross. And then in the end of chapter 15, He says, not only that I want to share with you about a great love, But I want to share with you about a great hatred. He said there are going to be those that are going to hate you. They're going to hate you because of who you're living for and what you stand for. I was by the hospital, going to the hospital, was it yesterday? I went out and got me a bite to eat while they were doing the calf, and went over to Chick-fil-A there, and I just needed a moment to sit down, and boy, all the text messages I was receiving and phone calls, so I was trying to catch up with that. And, when I went by the Planned Parenthood place there, and, there were women out there standing and speaking against abortion, and I thought, what a blessing for people that stand up for what is right. And I thought, they're hated, amen? Folks would come by and blow the horn. I don't know if they were blowing the horn saying hallelujah, or they were blowing the horn and giving the California how you do, amen. But there were some not happy about people taking a stand. Why? Because the Lord said it would be that way. If you're going to live for the Lord and you're going to stand up for Jesus and what is right, according to not the president, according not to the pope, according to not to this preacher, but you stand to what's right according to the Bible, folks are going to hate you for it. And you say, preacher, I don't believe that. Well, you're calling Jesus a liar because that's what the Lord said. He said they hated me and they'll hate you. And so in chapter 16, he begins to talk to them how that they're going to be so hated that they're going to be persecuted. Now, there's all types of forms of and types of and degrees of persecution. You may be persecuted by someone just laughing at you, someone just mocking you, carrying your Bible and going to church and talking about the Lord. Maybe when you pray in public, as I mentioned, the record of when my parents prayed over their food and I was sitting there in a public restaurant and folks made fun of my father and called him a hypocrite. They're going to persecute you. There's different degrees. But the Lord said to them, I'm going to speak a word, number one, of prophecy. You're going to be persecuted, and you're going to be so persecuted, they'll want to kill you. Then number two, he spoke a word of preparation to them. He said, I want to speak these things so I can prepare you. Verse number one of chapter 16, these things have I spoken unto you that ye should not be offended. Not that you shouldn't get your feelings hurt. Not that somebody knocks that smile off your face. But what he is saying when he says that you wouldn't be offended, so you won't be entrapped by the persecution, and this persecution and this great hatred they will have towards you won't make you stumble and fall in your walk with Jesus Christ. Where would we be if we didn't have God's Word to prepare us for what lied ahead in our life? I'm glad the Bible says we'll have troubles. I mean, I don't like troubles like you don't like them. But I'm glad the Bible prepares me that I'm going to have troubles. And it tells me what I ought to do in the midst of my troubles. And I ought to look into the hills into Jesus Christ from whence cometh my help. Amen? And so the Bible prepares us. So he said, I'm going to prepare you. So he spoke a word of prophecy. You will be hated. You will be persecuted. And they will be after your life. Number two, a word of preparation. He said, I want to prepare you for this. So you won't stumble in your faith. You won't stumble in your walk with me. And then number three, he spoke to them a word of promise. He says, nevertheless, verse 7, I tell you the truth, it is expedient, or it is to your advantage, to your profit, that I go away. Because if I don't go away, the Comforter will not come unto you. The promise is this, the Holy Spirit would come. Amen? Can I get a witness in the building? Now, I know the Holy Spirit's here with us. He indwells in every believer now. But prior to Pentecost, where these men are actually at in our historical record of chapter 16 of John, the Holy Spirit had not yet descended to the earth. He would not come till after Jesus died, was buried, rose again, and for 40 days walked among men, and then He would resurrect. Then he would ascend up to heaven, and then 10 days after the first 40 days, 50 days after his resurrection at Pentecost, Penta means 50th or 50th day, that's when Holy Spirit would come as promised. Aren't you glad the Lord keeps His promises? He's not a liar, amen, or an Indian giver, praise the Lord. Alright, so now let's get into verse 8. So we're talking about the promise of the coming of Holy Spirit. And it says in verse 8, we're going to talk about the work of the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, I'm telling you that He's coming. I must go so He can come to this earth. And when He comes, He's going to indwell in you. And we begin to read about the work that the Holy Spirit will do. What will be His work? Verse 8, and when He, we're still talking about the Comforter, which is the Spirit of truth, which is Holy Spirit, when He is come, He will, mark it down, boys and girls, not said He might, but this is the Lord speaking, He said it's an affirmative, He is, He will, He is coming, and He will reprove the world of sin. Now that's the very first thing, besides that He will comfort His people. Aren't you glad for that? I mean, the very first thing in chapter 16 about the Holy Spirit, His work is, He'll comfort us. Amen? Isn't that great? He'll comfort us. But what the next thing He says is His work will be, He will reprove the world of sin. Now, the world is not talking about the planet Earth. The world is not talking about the deer and the elk and the squirrels and the muskrats and the groundhogs and all the birds and all that. The world is in reference to the same world in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. God gave Jesus to you and I, the world, which means the lost mankind. We are the world. The Bible says that we were of the world, but we have been taken out of the world through the blood of Jesus. We're still in the world, but we're not of the world anymore. Amen? We're of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're part of His body now. We're part of the church of the living God. And so it says, verse 8, that the Holy Spirit will come, and here's what He's going to do. He's going to reprove the world, lost man, lost mankind, men, women, boys and girls, of what? Of what? Sin. He's going to reprove them. So what does that word reprove mean? What does it mean in our context of Scripture in verse 8, the word reprove? The word means, from the original Greek, where it's translated to our English, it means to convict and to convince. Write it down in your Bibles and remember it. The Holy Spirit will convict the world of sin, and He will convince the world of sin. How often have you heard this preacher say to you, under my preaching or teaching, you've heard me say, the Holy Spirit convicts and convinces men that they're lost. That is Bible. I'm giving you Bible, John 16:8. Jesus said that's exactly what would happen. He will not only convict, but He will convince that a person is lost. Because you know why? We think before we're saved, we're okay. We think our works is good enough. We're not as bad as so-and-so down the road. We never murdered anybody. We really never did this or did that. And we got this short list of sins we've never committed, but we forget about the long list of sins that we have committed. And you know how many sins it takes to commit to become a sinner? One. One. One sin. And so now we are sinners before we are saved. And if you're here tonight, if you're watching tonight, listening tonight, if you've never been born again, you are a sinner. You are a practicing sinner. You were born a sinner. The Bible says, David said, in the womb I was shapen in iniquity. And so, when we reach that age of accountability, don't know what age that is, I believe it's different for every human being. It may be 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. It may go all the way up to 11 or 12 years old. Sometimes I doubt it's that old. Sometimes I believe it's around the 10-year-old mark. But whatever it is, that is when we are convicted and convinced that we are a sinner. And when we turn against the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ, immediately we become a practicing sinner. And He says here that the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Spirit of truth, will reprove, convict, convince the world of sin. Don't you think about that? The Holy Spirit, His work is that He will convict no matter who you are, no matter where you live, whether it's in the fine superpower of America, or you live in a third world poor country, or if you even live in the deepest, darkest parts of the jungles of Africa, God's Word said, Holy Spirit will convict that native, that heathen,
and even that rich man that sits in a fine home tonight in America, that he's a sinner. Preacher, you got any more scripture? The Old Testament tells us this. The heavens declare the glory of God. And the firmament showeth His handiwork. I told you the story about the missionary that went to a part of the jungles of Africa. This was many years ago. I heard it when I was just a kid. And he went there, and he went there thinking that he would be the first one to share the gospel. And in a way, he was. But he'd be the first one to introduce these people to Jesus. And he said that when he got there and news in the village got around who he was and why he was there, anytime a white man goes into a village that deep in the jungle, it's big news. And so when the news got around, he said he was met by a man coming, trembling and crying, and saying that he was so pleased he was there. He was an answer to his prayer because he knew there was the God of the skies, and he knew that was the God he needed to be right with. Why? The heavens declare the glory. He told the missionary, he said, how did you know there's a God? And he didn't know his name was Jesus. He didn't know all those things at that time. But he knew that there was one God. And he said, every morning the sun came up in the same direction. And every night it always descended or set in the same direction. He said they were always winter and summer and spring and fall. He said the season, and he gave him reasons why he knew that there was one God. This man had never sat in a church and heard a minister preach from the Word of God, but the heavens declared there's a God. Are you with me tonight? The Holy Spirit will do His work. Amen? Some preachers think they've got to pull people down the altar. Some people think they've got to go and they've got to say, Polly, want to crack a prayer? Repeat after me and you can be saved. The Holy Spirit will do His work. I gave the story of Brother Albert, and I no doubt he's probably watching and listening tonight. And I'll probably use his illustration for the rest of my life. But I believe Brother Albert wanted me and wanted his son-in-law, wanted his daughter to say, you are saved, you are not saved. He needed to hear it, but I was not going to do it, and neither was his sister, his daughter or his son-in-law. Why? Because that's the Holy Spirit's job. The Holy Spirit did the work. And did He do the work? Have you forgot what happened on the Sunday morning? I didn't even got started preaching. Interrupted my good sermon. Amen. And here he come. I mean, that was going to be the best message I ever preached. And he messed it all up. Amen. Here he come and got saved. Amen. Amen. Got saved that night. Praise the Lord. Why? Holy Spirit reproved him of sin. And I'm telling you, without Holy Ghost conviction, there's never been Holy Ghost conversion in your life. You cannot be saved outside Holy Spirit's work. The Holy Spirit must be involved. I'm telling you, people say, I remember I was at a vacation Bible school. I remember as a kid, revival. I remember as a classroom in a Christian school. I remember in chapels of Christian school. And all these other people came wanting to go to heaven and be saved. And so I went with my buddies and I prayed the same prayer of their prayer. It ain't good enough. A prayer won't get you there. The Bible never says to ask Jesus in your heart and you'll be saved. There is no scripture that says, ask Jesus in your heart and you'll be saved. The Bible does say to believe, and that's a strong word. And we're going to talk about that word here in a minute. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. For with the mouth, confession is made. Right? Is that right? Do you know the Bible, the book of Romans? For with the mouth, confession is made. You confess Him, and with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. And so, how's that going to happen? How's a man going to believe that he's rotten? We got too much pride. Amen, preacher, you're right tonight. Nobody else say amen, but I'll amen. Old Lee, he's got a lot of pride sometimes. We got pride, folks. That's why you're not amening, because you got pride. You don't want nobody to think that you're worse than what you really are. We got a lot of pride. Sometimes we're too selfish. And the Holy Ghost must convince us we're rotten. You're welcome. I know it ain't Sunday morning. You need it on Wednesday night, too. The Holy Ghost convinces us we're rotten. And without God, we're going to go to hell. And we're going to burn forever. And so the Holy Ghost will convince and convict the world, those that are lost, of sin. Praise the Lord. And then it goes on to say, of righteousness. And we're going to deal with that in verse 10. And then of judgment. So then he breaks those down. Sin, righteousness, and judgment. Let's go with sin, verse 9. Of sin,
because they believe not. He says, he not only tells us what the Holy Spirit's work will be until we're raptured out of here, but he says why his work will be this. Are you looking in verse 9? Of sin, why? Because they, who's they referring to? Go back to verse 8, the world. He said he's going to convict, reprove the world. So we're talking about the world in verse 9. Of sin, because they, the world, what? Believe not on me. Did you see that? Don't let it be such a small verse with a few words that you overlook this tonight. This is the Lord speaking about Holy Spirit. And He says that the world, you and I, before we were saved, that Holy Spirit will convict, convince, reprove us of sin. Why? Because we, before we were saved, and if you're here tonight not saved, because you believe not in Him. It does not say on Him, but in Him. Or in me, Jesus is speaking here. Now, believe here means, think about this, because a lot of folks believe in Jesus. A lot of folks will say to you, I believe Jesus lived on the earth. I believe Jesus did great miracles. I believe that Jesus even died on the cross. I believe He was a great teacher. I believe that He made an impact on this world. There's no denying that. Many folks will say they believe in Jesus. But that belief is not saving belief. Because the Bible says in the book of James that the devils believe and tremble. Now I'm going to ask you a question. Will there be any devils in heaven? Now, second question, how do you get to heaven? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if the devils believe and they're not going to heaven, something must be up with that word believe. There must be a difference in that word believe, the kind of believing the devils do in this world, a lot of folks do, than what you and I that are going to heaven have done. What is the difference in the word? In this word, the word believe, a word can mean many different things. Are you with me tonight, English professors? The word believe can mean three or four or five different things. What does it mean here? What is it saying that they're going to be convicted of their sin? They're going to be convicted that they're lost on their way to eternal judgment, eternal damnation in hell. Why? Because they, the world, the lost, believe not on me. The word believe here means someone that is firmly persuaded. Think about this. It says, those people are lost because they don't believe on me. They are not firmly persuaded in their heart that I'm the only way to heaven. They are not firmly persuaded in their heart that without me they'll die and go to hell. They believe in Jesus, but they are not firmly persuaded in their heart that Jesus is the only way to heaven. Are you with me there? Are you with me there? They are not firmly persuaded that Jesus is the only way. They believe in Jesus. They believe He was a good man. They might believe He did great miracles, but they're not firmly persuaded that He's the only way. Now, I want you to take your Bibles and go to Acts 26. Keep your finger there. You've got to look at this. If you don't have a Bible, look with somebody. A Bible's in the pew there to help you. Acts 26. Acts 26, we dig deep when we do our studies here, and I'm very pleased with our studies, and I'm very pleased the way you've grown, but you've got to hang with me, you've got to flip in your Bibles if you're going to see this for your own self. Don't trust me, I'm glad you love me, but don't you put all your trust in me, put it in the Word of God. What does the Bible say? Make sure I'm reading the right words, okay? Make sure I'm not reading from some funny Bible tonight, amen? But from the inspired Word of God. All right. Acts 26, if you're there, give me a hoopee or a yay yay or an amen or an oh my or whatever. Amen. All right. You know, in Acts 26, we're getting near the ending of the book of Acts. We're talking about the Apostle Paul. He has stood before Felix. He has stood before Festus. These people in the government, Roman government,
And now he is gone to stand before King Agrippa. And in verse number 12, and on through verse number 25, Paul preaches to King Agrippa. In verse number 14 through verse 18, he told Agrippa, let me tell you how I got born again. Ain't that great? It shouldn't bother you who you tell. Tell everybody. Doesn't matter if they're begging for your nickel or if there's somebody that don't need your nickel. Tell them about Jesus and how you got saved. Amen? Amen? Can I get a witness? I remember when Jairus Norwood sat over here one Sunday morning, someone came and said, you won't believe who's here. And I said, I hope it's the Lord. And they kind of embarrassed him. They said, yeah, we do too, but we got somebody else here. And they said, we got the Atlanta Falcons running back. I said, oh, Jairus Norwood. I said, boy, he's pretty good. And somebody, I think Jimmy, brought him back to my study. I said, bring him back here. I need to talk to him. Check him out, because I know he could be a disruption to our service. And I'm not going to let anybody disrupt our service. I mean, Bobby didn't mean to, and he really wasn't a disruption. But we come to worship God, not Atlanta Falcons, not Dale Jr., not Washington Redskins, not you, not me. We're here to worship the Lord. Can I get somebody amen that? And if you're here to worship somebody else, you need to get right with the Lord before you leave. Because God gets upset when you give His glory and honor to somebody else. And so we talk, and I preached on the subject was, we need a little hell in our church. And the subject was from Luke, 16, some things that were in hell that needs to be in our church. I need to preach it again sometime. Since you don't, does anybody remember it? Don't raise your hand, because Keith remember of all people. I'm going to preach it again. Amen. And I preached that. When I got done, I preached hard. I was over here preaching it and got done. And do you know, someone came to me and said, preacher, I can't believe you preach that way with him sitting here. I said, I don't care if it's President Obama Nation. I'll preach the Word of God. Amen. Don't care if it's somebody that don't have money or somebody famous. We got to give them the Word of God. Amen. And Paul said, I don't care if you are the king. I'm going to give you the Bible. Amen. Because why? He's serving a greater king. And this king was going to have to answer to the King of Kings. And so look what happens in verse number 25. Paul said, I'm not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. Paul was telling Festus, I'm not crazy in my mind. I don't need to go to the mental hospital. I'm all right. I've just been born again. That's what's wrong with me. Amen. Verse 26, for the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely. He said, I ain't hesitate to tell you about the Lord. I've not been hesitant in telling you about Jesus is the only way. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, watch this, almost thou, what's the word? Persuadest. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. What Agrippa was saying is, I believe in Jesus. I believe He's a good man. I believe He did wonderful miracles. And I sure believe He changed your life, because I know what you used to be. And I know you've changed sides now. And I believe He's this or that. But almost thou persuadest me. You know what he's saying? He was saying, he was identifying with the folks in verse 9, John 16. They're not fully persuaded about Jesus Christ. Are you with me? Don't you fall for everybody that says, oh, I believe in Jesus. By their works, you'll know them. Are you with me today? So it says that we must be convicted as sinners of our sins. Now watch what it says. It says here, we must believe, place our trust in Him for salvation. And it says in verse 8 that He will convict us. And so it's going to be left to us after He convicts us and convinces us. It's going to be left to us to choose one or two choices. After we're convicted, after we're convinced by Holy Spirit, and He does a great work at that, a great job, we're left with a decision to make. Preacher, I'm not going to make the decision tonight. You just made the decision. Your decision is this. You either choose to be converted or you choose to stay condemned. So He convicts, convinced. You choose to be converted or to stay condemned. John 3:36, the last verse of that famous chapter, He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. The Bible says, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not a Son to the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. And this is the condemnation. Men love darkness rather than light. They love their sin. Darkness is a picture of sin. Rather than light, salvation. Why? Because their deeds are evil. And because our deeds are evil, before we met the Lord, the Holy Spirit came so that He might reprove us and convict us, convince us that we need to be converted. And we, once we're converted, we will be changed. Can I get a witness in the building? It don't hurt to say amen on Wednesday night. Praise the Lord all week. Amen? Amen? I'm telling you, when we are convicted, we are to be converted. I hope you've been converted. And if you have been converted, then you've been changed. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. I love when you answer scripturally with me. That's wonderful. I'm glad you know your Bible. All right? So, what does it say in verse 9? It says He's going to convict them of sin because what? They believe not on Me. What is the sin that they're convicted of? What is it? It's drinking, preacher. No, doesn't say anything about drinking here. Preacher, they're reproved because they're running around. No. Because they take dope and drugs. That includes pain medicine. Amen. We've got a problem today in our world of even God's people getting addicted to pain medicine. You better be careful with that garbage. Better be careful. I'm not telling you not to take it. You take it right. But it's very easy to get addicted to pain medicine. And I'll tell you, it's the same as taking drugs. There ain't no difference in it. You say, well, it's not marijuana. Same thing. Be careful with them drugs. Amen? And so, I don't know if you needed that, but I thought I'd share it to you. All right? I just do what the Lord tells me to do and go about my business. All right? What is the sin here that we're reproved of? There you go! Amen! There it is! What is the sin that the Holy Spirit will convict us, convince us that we're guilty of? Drinking? No. Running around? No. Homosexuality? No. Taking drugs? No. Cussing? No. Stealing? No. Robbing? No. Killing? No. What is the sin that He will convince and convict us of? Believing not in Jesus Christ. Do you know what the one sin is that will send you to hell if you commit it and you don't get forgiveness for? Believing not on Jesus Christ. That's why He convicts you. The reason you do all those other sins is because of the main sin. It is the root, the sin of unbelief is the root of all other sins. That's why the Bible says if you're saved, you're different. Because the root of unbelief is no longer in you. You've been washed by the blood of Jesus. Praise God. And so it says here, the Holy Spirit will convince us of the sin of unbelief. The very sin that condemns us to a devil's hell. And then keep going. We got to get closer in a moment. Look at verse 10. And then He says He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness. Now think of this. Because I go to My Father, and ye see Me no more. Now, you understand that this word righteousness is not referring to our righteousness. Can I get a witness? How in the world can He talk in verse number 9 about how sinful we are and verse 10 say, oh, you're righteous too? Doesn't work that way, does it? We're sinners. Romans 3 says, there is none that doeth good, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They've all gone out of the way. There is none righteous, no, not one. No righteous, no, not one. And so in verse 9, what righteousness is He referring to? He's going to reprove us. He's going to make it real, Brother Keith, in our life of our sin of rejecting the blood of Jesus Christ for our salvation. And then His second or third work, after being a comfort to us, is that He will convince us of the righteousness, not of us, but of Jesus Christ. You and I any righteousness or any good in us since we've been saved is because of Jesus Christ. You know, you have to understand when Jesus said that let your light so shine before men, we get this idea that we are lights of the world, and we know what Matthew 13 says, you're the light of the world. But you have to understand in the context what the Lord is saying. He's saying, now that you once were in darkness, now that you've accepted me as your Savior, I am the light of the world, and I live in your life, in you. And it is by me and through you that the light shines. You have no righteousness in you. The Bible says, the Bible speaks about Abraham. It says that he believed in God and it was counted, he was imputed the righteousness of Christ. Imputed. The word means that Jesus took Abraham's unrighteousness on the cross. The Bible says he became sin for us. He died for all sins. My sins, your sins, all sins. And in return at salvation, he gave Abraham the righteousness of his own self. And so the righteousness is not us. There is nothing right about us. We're just sinners saved by grace. But he's holy. Can I get a witness? He's pure. He's right. He's the one that's right. And so he said he's going to reprove the world that we're sinners. But yet he's going to next not only say, convince you and I we're sinners, but he's going to convince us that he's holy. He's going to convince us we can't save ourselves, but he can. He's going to convince us we can't pay for our sins, but the holy God of heaven can. We're unrighteous, but he's righteous. We're impure, but he's pure and holy and righteous. He said, so we're convicted of our sin, and we're convicted and convinced that if there's any righteousness that's going to come in our life, it'll have to be Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, now look what it says. He says here that of righteousness. Now, if we're going to be saved and converted because the Holy Spirit has convinced us in verse 8 and 9, and we end up believing, I hope you've been saved tonight. I hope you've been washed by the blood. I hope you remember a time you were convicted, convinced by the Holy Spirit that you were a sinner on your way to hell, and you've been born again. You've been converted, and the result is you have been changed. I'm glad that verse doesn't say, if any man be in Christ, he is perfect. Aren't you glad for that? Praise God. I'm glad it says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I, when I got saved, it didn't make me sinless. You know what I'm going to say. I've said it years here. When I got saved, it didn't make me sinless, Dave. But it makes me want to sin less and less. And if you want to sin more and more, since you said you got saved, you didn't get saved. Hey, you're welcome. You want to sin less and less. You want to get closer to God. You don't want to sin because you feel horrible when you do. Hebrews says that you're either a son or, watch this word, a bastard. That's a Bible word. That means he's not your father. He says if you're a son, he will chastise you when you sin. We don't like chastisement. We don't like to get whooped. But when I read Hebrews and I find out those who he chastened, he loves. Aren't you glad he loves you? And chastening of the Lord proves that we're his children. The father don't go whoop the devil's children. He whoops his children. I'm glad he whoops me once in a while. I need to be smacked in the head. Amen? I need to be smoked in the heart and said, you got to straighten up, buddy. You can't act this way. Amen? You can't do that. And so we're reproved of that. All right. So it's 5 minutes still, so we won't have to shut down. So what is he saying here in verse 10? He says, of righteousness. Now, we've gone from sin, verse 9, to now righteousness. Isn't that a blessing? That speaks about the converted life. Amen? We once were sinners. Now, we've been made righteous by the blood of Jesus Christ. See, I've heard people say, saved people say this. Well, preacher, I'm saved, but I ain't no saint. Will you give me Bible for that? Will you show me in the Bible where some saved folks are saints and some saved folks are not saints? The Bible says we all now, since we've been saved, we are saints. We are saints. Amen? You may not be a great saint or even a good saint, but you're a saint. Amen. We are saints of Christ. We've been made righteous. We've been made right. You know what happens when we are accused by the devil? The Bible says the devil is a false accuser of the brethren. You've read that? Daryl, you know, you're right. It's in there. When he accuses us, and let me say this, sometimes he rightly accuses us. Brother Tim, you with me? Sometimes he says things that we are doing. He's telling the truth. But most of the time he likes to tell the lies because he already knows God knows what we are doing. So he likes to lie about us and maybe it slipped God's eyesight. Let me tell you what old Lee did. You didn't see this. I know you know a lot about Lee, but let me tell you something I saw. You missed this, God. He's a false accuser of the brethren. And you know what? When he does speak the truth to God, and he has a hard time doing it because he's the father of lies. He can't help but speak false and deceitful words and lies. That just comes out of his mouth. He lies. And so when he does speak the truth, God doesn't say, "You're right, Satan," but he knows it's the truth. Today, when you sinned against God, did anybody, now this will help your pride, did anybody sin today? David, Sheila, Chris, and me. Megan, thank you, Megan, I appreciate it. Greg, did you sin? Jimmy, Sarah, Tiff? Do I have to go around here and ask? Archie, did you sin? Miss Payne. Finally, there's the one I was trying to shoot at. No, I'm just kidding. We all sinned today. We had the wrong thought, said the wrong word, didn't react the right way. We didn't have tempers when we should have had. We didn't have patience when we should have had. We didn't witness to that person when God said to us, "Tell them about me." There are so many ways we may have sinned. Sin is unrighteousness. Sin, him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. If today you missed the chance to do good and you did not do it, you sinned. Amen? Amen. If you had a chance to do good and you didn't do it, you sinned. If God gave you that opportunity. I was praying Tuesday when I was in the sitting in that waiting room. It's kind of lonely in there, and I didn't have no phone signal in that hospital. T-Mobile, they stink with cell phone service, and I know other people's going to hear what I said, but they stink at it. And that commercial, their tower, counting towers are more and more. They need to put some in America because I don't think there's much in America. I don't got no signal, never. I get home and I got 10 messages. Somebody called 4 hours ago wondering where the preacher is. And I know I hear him out the door. I called the preacher and he didn't tell me. Well, excuse me, sometimes I'm busy, amen? I'll get back with you. Some of you don't like leave a message. Learn to leave a message. If you don't leave a message, most likely I don't know what I'm doing, but I will not call you back. Because I'm busy. I'm busy. You got to leave me, man. Let me know what you need and I can call you back. Okay? You're welcome. But anyway, I was praying. I said, "Lord, I thank you for the opportunity. You've given me a golden opportunity today to be a blessing to Wendell Harris." I said, "Lord, he's been such a blessing to me. And now today, you gave me the blessing to be a blessing to him." I was sitting today, and I will say this and say something about the verse 10, and we'll go home because it's 3:10. Somebody stole my watch. Somebody's already sinned before we got. Oh, there it is. All right, so it was Miss. That is good, Miss Louise. You're catching on, but don't speak out. I'm preaching now. You can preach your turn. When it's your turn, you preach. Amen. But anyway, Carol's family going to say, "That man's crazy." Amen. We everybody agrees. We have a good time here. I got the joy of the Lord. I've been revived. Praise God. And so I said, "Lord, thank you." And so this morning when I called Wendell around 8 and talked to him, I said, "Wendell, what's going on?" We talked. And he said, "Preacher, they ain't said nothing to me about going home." And I said, "Well, Wendell, I got some things to do today." I said, "I may come by in the afternoon before I pick my kids up, make a circle." And I said, and so I hung up, and I didn't have my prayer time, and I didn't pray for Wendell and y'all and everybody. And then I said, "Lord, I got such a great desire for you to send somebody to spend time with Wendell today. He needs some company. He needs some encouragement. He already sounded weak to me, and I didn't know they was going to tell him that he was not going to get to go home till Friday. And you can imagine if you were there, if they told me I don't go home till Friday, I'd be slipping out in that nightgown or hospital gown through the parking lot finding the car. Amen. Still one of them golf carts had the Flower Branch with my gown in the wind. Amen. But I'm going home. And so I know him old bachelor like he is, he wanted to go home. And I said, Lord, I got things to do. And I knew Chris worked today. Chris would go as our deacon, but he was working. And old Tim Holloway called. Preacher, I was thinking about you this morning, been praying for you, and I know you're busy. You've been quite busy. Is there anything I can do for you today? He'll never know what that meant to me. And I said, Brother, and I didn't hesitate. I said, Brother Tim, I got a desire in my heart, and I think God's going to grant it. I asked God to give me somebody to go see Wendell, spend a little time. He said, I'll be glad to. I had to go get the dog a haircut first, though, so the dog was ahead of Wendell, but we won't talk about that right now. And so he went down there, so I came to him. I said, Brother Tim, yeah, I know several of you called, and Sarah came last night, and I know some more. I know that. But that instant, I said, Lord, give me somebody that would help me today while I'm doing what. And God, that's the way God works. He'll sometimes just answer those requests and desires just like that. And I appreciate that. What a golden opportunity we have. Now with Sherry Martin has a brother and a sister into eternity in less than 2 weeks. And now Keith and Sheila's involved in that family. Lynn Flynn's in the hospital right now, mentally breaking down because of her mama. She said, I don't want to live, preacher. I want to overdose and die and see my mama. And I said, that's not what mama wants. That's not what mama would be proud of. I said, you got to be strong in the Lord. I said, the first problem was you missed church Sunday. And I know somebody wouldn't do that, but I'm the pastor, and I do. I tell people straight. I say, you should have been in church Sunday. You'd have got help Sunday. And the first thing people do when they get discouraged is they stay at home. You need church. Get to the house of God and get some help. Tom ought to be here tonight. Some of you call Tom tonight and say, Tom, where are you? But tonight, Tom needs that encouragement. Wendell Harris needs that. Sarah's been going through things. On and on we could go, people in our church that have recently had folks pass away. Here's Alan with his family. What opportunities have you seized to be a blessing? Have you called somebody? Have you sent a text? Have you sent a card? Have you hugged their neck? Have you said, hey, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for your family. I'm praying for your work situation. Here's Jimmy here tonight. And I told him, I said, Jimmy, you come tonight, you sign a visitor's card, and you bring a wheelbarrow for all your tithes you owe to church. And how many has Jimmy wants to be at church on Sundays? Are we praying for Jimmy? Carol's here tonight. Carol's been coming more. Ain't that a blessing? We need to pray for Mary. We need to pray for Taylor. We need to pray for Jimmy. They want to be on church more. We got to pray for them. We got to pray for them. Let them know. We've got opportunities all around us. Let's seize those opportunities and be a blessing to people. But he says, of righteousness, because I go to my Father. And the one true indicator that we have gone from of sin category to of righteousness, from of sin to of righteousness, and I'm glad I have by the grace of God, the evidence will be true faith always produces fruit. Always. The right kind of faith always produces the right kind of works. Did you hear me that tonight? The right kind of faith always produces the right kind of works. So, preacher, I don't believe in that works for salvation. I didn't say anything about works for salvation. I'm talking about works after salvation. James was told by the Holy Spirit, write this down, faith without works is dead. The right kind of faith always produces the right kind of works. Faith that produces no works, faith that produces no fruit, is not saving faith. You're welcome. It is not saving faith. Saving faith always produces fruits. Always produces fruit. And so may the Lord help us. If tonight you're not saved, I hope that you call upon the Lord and you ask the Lord to save you. I'm sure tonight, just in this service, if you're in an auditorium or if you're watching, or if you'll be listening to this study. So we got an email from India yesterday. I got an email. I can't wait to read it to you. And want to say how wonderful they enjoy the Book of John study and how much they appreciate our church and our sermon audio, and wanted me to come down and preach a crusade. And so I'm going to try to raise $10,000 Sunday, so please be here for that. Some said, we'll give you a one-way flight, preacher, if you'd like to go. But anyway, it blessed my heart. We get reports like that all the time. India, Quebec, Canada, and Britain and France and places like that where folks are getting help. And it's a real blessing. I've got a man that I used to work with that's now in Afghanistan subcontracting for the Army, and he participates in our services. A man that his life is in danger every single day. And this is where he draws his strength and help. And that, you've been a blessing to people. Seize those opportunities to be a blessing. Seize those opportunities to help people. Seize those opportunities to do a great work. You know, we may only have 100 on Sunday. We sometimes 90, sometimes, well, 2 Sundays ago, 128. We're back and forth. I don't know. Hopefully we'll have over 100 this Sunday. But I tell you, this church is doing a lot for the Lord. And you ought to get on. Get on this thing with us. Do more for the Lord. Let's make a big difference for the glory of God. Little as much when God's in it. And thank God that we have been brought from of sin crowd to the of righteous crowd. We've been saved by the grace of God. So let us labor for the glory of God. The Bible says that for by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves is the gift of God. Not of works. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Then it goes on, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, whom God hath before ordained or planned purpose that we should walk in them. Walk in what? Walk in our works. The Bible says that let your light so shine before men, let it so shine before men that they may see your works, good works, and they might glorify the Father which is in heaven. I'm telling you, the right kind of faith always produces fruit. It always produces good works. And so we've been of the sin crowd, dead in our sins, in darkness, but now we're in the light. And now we get to shine the light. Jesus shines it through us, and they see our works. And because of that, folks are convicted, some are saved, some are encouraged, some are edified, and some go another mile because they saw your faith through your works for Christ. Amen. Thank you so much for listening to the sermon today. We hope and pray that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The Bible says in the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Bible says in John, chapter number 14, that Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Our prayer here at Open Door Baptist Church is that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The Bible says that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, Jesus Christ loves you. He died for you, and He's more than capable and more than willing to cleanse you from unrighteousness and from your sins and make you a child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The Bible says if you repent, turn from your sin and turn to Jesus Christ and by faith believe in His death, His burial, and His resurrection for your salvation, you too can be saved. Our prayer is that you think upon this and that very soon you'll make an eternal decision to receive Jesus as your personal Savior. Thank you so much.